Today is Dr. Martin Luther King Day, January 20th, 2025. It's also the day of the swearing in of the new president of the United States of America, a president who will surely invite in more chaos into our lives and into our communities, into our policies, into our ways of being. And yet, it's no coincidence, I don't think, that today is also the honoring of Dr. Martin Luther King. And we focus our meditation, both our sitting and our walking, on ancestors. To remember and reignite, renew the power of ancestors, the power of. I know when I think of my ancestors, and when I was walking just now, and I invited in ancestors to walk with me, immediately there was this energy. My body became more upright. This is not imagination. This is our practice. This is our ability to practice into spirit form, to touch the ultimate in any moment. It's not just words. When we say we walk on the earth and we connect to the earth and we root, they're not just words, because when we become still and we notice, our energy reconnects, and all of a sudden, we are now not only this individual cell, we're part of a larger conglomerate of all beings. Whether in a corporal form as this body or not, or one that has passed on out of this form, a form that we can recognize as that person, as this person. And we don't know what form we were in previous to this formation of Maricela here. Who was I often wonder, who was I before I came into this body? What makes me this way? We can dream into who we were before. I often do that. And so this connection to ancestors is very real and profound. And in the midst of the challenging times, whether in the past, now, or in the future, we want to remember our ancestors. We want to remember Dr. King, the power of Dr. King. We want to remember Thay, power of Thay. There's so many. There's so many. And if we just remember that, and bring that energy into us, immediately we get reconnected, we become that energy, we become that courage, we become that fearlessness, that love, that joy, sometimes that sorrow. Yeah. I would like to share a couple clips of Dr. King. The first one is talking about maladaption. And then the next one is the interconnectedness. So let's see here. I have them. I think queued up here. There we go. Okay. This is the first one. The first one's a minute, and the second one's just a, I think, a couple, 2 or 3, maybe 3 minutes, 2 minutes.
Mother. modern psychology has a word that is probably used more than any other word in psychology. It is the word maladjusted. It is the ringing cry of modern child psychology, maladjusted. Now, of course, we all want to live the well-adjusted life in order to avoid neurotic and schizophrenic personalities. But as I move toward my conclusion, I would like to say to you today, in a very honest manner, that there are some things in our society and some things in our world for which I'm proud to be maladjusted. And I call upon all men of goodwill to be maladjusted to these things until the good society is realized. I must honestly say to you that I never intend to adjust myself to racial segregation and discrimination. I never intend to adjust myself to religious bigotry. I never intend to adjust myself to economic conditions that will take necessities from the many to give luxuries to the few, leave millions of God's children smothering in an airtight cage of poverty in the midst of an affluent society.
And I'd like to share the other clip and then
it really boils down to this, that all life is interrelated. We are all caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny, and whatever affects one directly,
yes, sir,
affects all indirectly. We are made to live together because of the interrelated structure of reality. Did you ever stop to think that you can't leave for your job in the morning without being dependent on most of the world? You get up in the morning and go to the bathroom and reach over for a sponge, and that's handed to you by a Pacific Islander. You reach for a bar of soap, and that's given to you at the hands of a Frenchman. And then you go in the kitchen to drink your coffee for the morning. That's poured in your cup by a South American. Or maybe you want tea. That's poured in your cup by a Chinese. Or maybe you are desirous of having cocoa for breakfast, and that's poured in your cup by a West African. And then you reach over for your toast, and that's given to you at the hands of an English-speaking farmer, not to mention the baker. And before you finish eating breakfast in the morning, you're dependent on more than half of the world. This is the way our universe is structured. It is its interrelated quality. We aren't going to have peace on earth until we recognize this basic fact of the interrelated structure of all reality. Now let me say,
I want to talk about how Dr. King's teaching on being maladjusted is directly connected to where we are today. You know, everyone keeps saying, when you read some of the comments from different talks by Dr. King, you see This could have been said today, this 10 years ago, it said. This could have been said today, and here we are, 2025. And this could have been said for today, this maladjusted. So this maladjusted, this intentionality around refraining from becoming normal, right? That's what we're saying here. And the reason is because normal is a certain thing right now. So normal is what we don't want to be right now, because normal has taken a very different energy, a very different way of being. And Tai speaks about this as well when he talks about resistance. There's a quote from Tai on resistance where he says, first of all, resistance means opposition to being invaded, occupied, assaulted, and destroyed by the system. The purpose of resistance here is to seek the healing of yourself in order to be able to see clearly. This may sound as though it falls short of a positive act of resistance. Nevertheless, it is very basic. I think that communities of resistance should be places where people can return to themselves more easily, where the conditions are such that they can heal themselves and recover their wholeness. This is what Dr. King spoke of in Beloved Communities, the Beloved Community, the resistance of adapting to what we now believe to be the normal. And it's not now, not just a peripheral. It's not the group on the periphery, you know? It's the, we may say it's the nationalists or it's this group. It's the energy of the entire country. It's a president who has just been sworn into office, who is basically normalizing a certain set of behaviors, a certain set of ways of being. And what Dr. King was saying, that during that same time where racial segregation was so, was everywhere, right? It was the norm then, right? Militarism, greed and hatred, that was driving that. He was saying, I refuse to adapt. I refuse to adjust to that normal, what is normal in this society. I resist that. And so we call in our ancestors because we have so many examples. So many. Who teach us these things of resisting a norm that harms us, resisting a norm that assaults us. And so we are not without power. We have in our body, in our own human form, ancestors' energy who faced and surmounted, who resisted, who did not adjust to become what the norm said is now the way to be. Who refuse to treat any human being as someone who is beyond or beneath them, regardless of their color of their skin, the country they came from, who they choose to love, their language, who they worship, how much money they have. It was this refusal to harmonize with that understanding that if you're different, you don't matter. And so this whole way often that we're taught, let's get along, let's harmonize, don't rock the boat. resisting that culture sometimes is hard, especially in certain places, in spiritual places, especially sometimes we're taught that we want peace. But sometimes the peace is adjusting to the norm. And what we're hearing here from Dr. King, what we're hearing here from Tai, is sometimes we have to refuse that, quote, superficial harmony of the norm, where we all bow our head and say yes to treating each other inhumanely, treating people that who love differently, like they're not worthwhile of love, treating women's body as if it doesn't matter. All these ways that we want to, in a society right now, want to normalize that, we have the energy already in us. This is not our first rodeo, y'all. We are of our ancestors. That's why today is about inviting in the ancestors to be in us, to be behind us, to be in front of us, to be next to us, to be above us and below us. When I was preparing for today and I brought in the ancestors, just as in the walking just now, I felt so strong. I felt I could do anything. I felt the ancestors in me. And when I thought about all of the ancestors, I couldn't even think of all of them. And all I could imagine was a collage of ancestors. And if I tapped into each one of them, one of their energies every day, what would that mean for me? What would that mean for you? Part of our separateness is forgetting that we are part of something bigger, part of the of this norm that we have been inculcated in, is to forget that we are not individual and that we're not separate, that we are actually part of the big quilt. Tai talks about interbeing, interrelatedness, interdependence. Dr. King just shared about you can't get through breakfast without touching, and now these days, touching the entire world because of where things come from. So it's not even an imagination anymore. Like, oh, maybe. No, we are so interconnected. And so when we drop into this powerful understanding of interconnected is when we drop into our power, because the interconnectedness is love. And love is a more powerful force than hate. Hate destroys. The energy of hatred tears things apart. It doesn't sustain. Anything that's built on hatred is not sustainable. Anything that extracts does not sustain, because extracting results in individual separate pieces. You see? Anything that connects, anything that loves, it builds something that's more sustainable. And so when we remember that the norm of the society, we live in a society that was formed by fragmentation. This is not new. We are not new. Our blood is made from our land ancestors who spent generations reconnecting us. You see? We just happen to have another person who has gained enormous power and built off this fragmentation. Watering the seeds of fragmentation in everyone, in people who didn't have a groundedness to their ancestors, in people who didn't have a sense of connection to something bigger than themselves. And so if we water those seeds in us, we become just like that. So we cannot do that. That's why we don't adapt and adjust to this new way of doing things, or this continuing highlighting and lifting up this way of doing things, of causing harm to our neighbors. And I'm speaking very specifically to the deportation. This is the space to really reckon with this. And when I say reckon with it, I mean, don't get hard and hateful. You see, because this stuff has been going on for a while, if you didn't notice, under different administrations, just more or less. Yeah. And so my invitation is to look at what we did during the Biden administration around deportation, just on this one topic. Look at what we did in the previous administration. Well, that was Trump again, sorry. Before Trump, what did you actually do? So this is not a calling out. This is an invitation to actually look really deep. Because sometimes our anger is anger at intentionality of different regimes, different authoritarian types of governing. And the anger prevents us from actually noticing what is ours to do from a place of hope, from a place of heart. And so if we didn't do anything during, say, Obama's or 43rd, Biden, and we can go back. If we didn't do anything then, are we still going to do nothing now? You see, so it's really, because see, everything is local. And when I say that, I mean everything actually locally starts with us. So Dr. King sharing about and teaching us about the interconnectedness of just getting up in the morning and having some breakfast, to be able to remember that interrelatedness is to do something already. Now, did we do that? Did we do that during Obama's administration or during the previous administration of Trump or during Biden's administration? So this administration, we really need to come back to the understanding of what it means to be interconnected in a profound way, in a very mindful way. This is our teachings, in a mindful way. There is no other urgency right now than to remember our practice, actually, and to be with people who are practicing, to water those seeds, because we are in a collective consciousness of seeds. Because it's the norm, it's becoming more normalized, it can easily affect us in ways that we are unaware. We take on ways of being, ways of thinking, or we get really quiet. And we think we're gonna not do anything but just tuck our heads down for 4 years and get through it. Well, that's not okay either. Because losing our power of 4 years of our lives and how we wanna develop in 4 years by giving it away to this authoritarian government is also not the way to go. So it's not about 4 years of tucking our head down and say, let me just get through this. What can we do in these next 4 years and beyond to build off of what is here with us? Can we build communities of resistance? Communities of resistance. Bell Hooks talks and teaches about communities of resistance. And what are those communities of resistance? It's the same thing Ty was talking about. It's places where we come together and we are with others who water the roots of our hearts and help us to re-nourish ourselves from the norm that's around us, so that we can continue in a way that keeps us on our path of compassion and freedom. So the next 4 years is not about, let me tuck in, I'll put my path, liberation can't happen in this kind of regime. You see, liberation happens continuously, right? Like during the monarchs in the Buddha's time, when the kings were going and killing others, the Buddha didn't stop teach and tell the disciples, okay, don't go to the different areas of the country and teach. Tuck in. When this regime is over, then we can go back out and do our work of liberation. No. So these are the times we were made for. You know, we say it all, there's these songs, you know, we are our ancestors' children, we are our ancestors' dream. No, we are all that, and we are our ancestors, period, punto, that's it, point. And so each one of you, do you really believe you're your ancestors? I believe I'm my ancestor. I believe Dr. King's in me. I believe Ty's in me. I believe my grandma's in me. Just my grandma alone would, like, you know. But then there's all these other people in me. Your ancestors are in me. And I know some of your ancestors. It's a lot. So look at how much I have. I am not lacking. And I am no different than you. It's a realization. It's a decision. It's a waking up to, I am not separate. I'm not alone in this. I root down into the earth and I reconnect with all the elements. And the elements are in me. Just the same elements in me, in my ancestors. So here I am. Here we go again. Here I am again. Here they are again. So the invitation today is to reconnect to the bigness of who we are. Do not make ourselves small because of what is happening outside of us on this national and on this international front. And every time something happens that we want to get more angry and tighten and contract and constrict, breathe in and remember, it's not just me that's seeing this. It's all my ancestors in me who have seen it already. And so what did we do and how are we going to move through this? And when we feel depleted, we find a community, and a community is two people. And we reconnect and we remind each other. And it doesn't mean we don't get angry and we don't get sad and we don't grieve. All of that is part of it. It's just that we don't have to get angry, sad, and grieve by ourselves and get depleted and depressed. These are our times. I'm happy to be alive in this time. Happy. How much can we bring to others who don't have a practice? How can we share this deep, profound ability to stay in freedom and on this path of liberation? Just that, just sharing that with someone is already part of the resistance, you see? So there's so much we can do. So on today, when we honor Dr. King, we honor Tai. Yesterday was his anniversary, 3 years of his passing. We honor many, so many ancestors. Let us just remember that we stand on their shoulders and they are in us. We have so much. And every night and every morning, bring an ancestor into you and walk with their footsteps in that day. Thank you for listening. Let's listen to a sound of the bell and let all of that just breathe out of us.